Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude this study of Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, titled, The Gospel Matters Most. This is part 2 of 2.
If you do something bad to my food, I'm doing it for you, so you know, great is my reward. So, yeah. But when we come to the end of our study in Philippians, we're going to be reminded of the fruit that Paul bears as a result of his life ending. If you got thrown into prison, you'd be saying, my life is over. Paul bore fruit. We'll see in chapter 4, verse 22, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of who?
Caesar's household.
That's the equivalent of a couple years ago, you being able to write back to us, you know, or send us an email report that you went to Washington, D.C. And let's say whether you're thrown in prison or not, you were able to witness to people in the White House. And some of those reprobate liberals actually got saved. Wouldn't that be great? I got news for you. That's about all there is right now in the new president's administration. A bunch of reprobate, progressive Republicans. They need saved. So God bless everybody, including the crazy charismatic types or whatever. If they go in there, like that Paul White, you know, something. If they were to go in there and preach the gospel, praise God. And you're going to see that's the Bible attitude. That's why I had somebody write me on Facebook and say, oh, I wish you'd get rid of that Paul White. What's better than the Pope? I'd rather have Paula White than the Pope in there, or Oprah, you know, or some other New Ager. So if Paul had not been arrested, we would have got. I'm asking a question: who would have gotten inside of Caesar's palace to preach the gospel? That's a good question. So in addition, Paul's suffering resulted in an epidemic of something we're missing in the church today. Say this with me. Courage.
Amen.
Paul got thrown into prison. It's a funny thing. When you read church history, the greatest times of revival actually usually coincide with the greatest times of suffering. In China, in the last 20, 30 years, tens of millions of new believers in China. It happened while the Chinese government was bulldozing home churches. I had some people get upset with me through the years, but I've said it and I've prayed it. Lord, if a wave of persecution would result in souls being saved, send it. But there's not a lot of Christians who really feel that way. Verse 14, read that with me. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. See? An epidemic of courage broke out. And it's strange to see how that seeing a brother suffer emboldens others. But I've seen that in my own life. There was about 15 years ago, I went through a really bad ordeal. And I had people call me up and say, you know, I just want you to know, Greg, if that was me, I think I probably would have just gone wild. I probably would have just turned into a drunk going through what you went through. And you really encouraged me to do what's right, even when things are tough. That's what made it all worth it to me. Going through that kind of thing and having people call you up or send you an email and say, you know what? I see what you're going through. I see you sticking close to the Lord. I see you not willing to compromise. I see you just keep on keeping on. Man, that has been a great encouragement to me. And I say that because that actually was what I'd seen in the previous 10, 12 years as a Christian. I had seen some Christians who went through some stuff. I thought, wow, that's real faith right there. Go through that and still just keep on keeping on for the Lord. It's an encouragement. I'm just telling you, when you are going to go through something like this, you will. You're going to go through tough times in life. And just remember, when you're going through those times, if you will just stay the course with the Lord, even at the time you won't know who or where, that you are being an encouragement to somebody. You are being an example to somebody, and you don't want to blow it. You don't want to let the things in your life bring you down and hurt your testimony. I didn't go through with flying colors. I'm not saying I never had a bad day. But see, what people will be very forgiving when they see that someone struggles, but they just get back up and keep going. Have your bad days maybe, but get back up and keep going. I got another story I want to tell. Cultural diversity training. I was forced to go to cultural diversity training when I worked for the state of Ohio. It did not stick, that's right. But as we were sitting there, they were promoting, this was going back before gay marriage was legal, and before there was gays and transgenders in the military and all that stuff. This was right at the beginning of George Bush's first term. That's how far we're going back here. And that's when they were at, that was when the first big push to make everybody bow the knee to Sodom. And we were in there, and they were telling us that if you, they didn't come out and use the word Christian. They said if you have a belief system that says that it is a sin for people to be gay, or a sin for people who are gay to have what they called a significant other, or whatever they called it, a partner, that you had to keep that to yourself. You weren't allowed to speak that. And my hand went. And I'm surrounded by about 200 other people. Big, huge gathering. And the woman called on me and said, yes. I said, you just lied to everybody in this room. She says, what do you mean? I said, I'm an American. Just like Paul in Acts said, I'm a Roman. Folks, follow the Bible, not what you've heard stupid people say. God made you an American. You have your rights as an American. And I said, and as an American, if anybody asks me if being a homosexual is a sin, I'm going to quote the Bible in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32 and tell them yes. Amen. And neither you or anybody else is going to do anything to stop it. And everybody in this room needs to understand that if you... anybody else in this room needs to understand that if your boss tries to shut you up, especially before your shift, during your break, or afterwards, but even while you're on shift, if you're approached, you're not allowed to go around preaching at people, but if you're approached and you're asked the question, you have every right as an American to respond with your real opinion. And if you are then attacked by your employer, get an attorney. Amen. And she said, well, now, But here's the beauty of it. The beauty of it was, after that happened, another man stands up in the back. That's right. I'm sick of being told I can't speak my mind. You have your beliefs, I have mine. You speak yours, I'm going to speak mine. Hey, everybody. And listen, I didn't say another word. I didn't have to. I got my little spill out, and after that, they all became courageous. An epidemic of courage broke out. And I was told later that they had modified their course from that point on. They didn't tell people what they'd told us. Amen. Now, what would have happened if they had cuffed me and walked me out with security? I would have gotten an attorney. I would have stood my ground, just like the Apostle Paul did in the book of Acts. Now, he ended up getting him thrown in front of Caesar, and he lost his head. So what? He went to heaven. Amen. And if you won't look at it that way, you're not going to be able to do it. But if you will look at things the way Paul looked at them, and at the time, Mariah can tell you, the last thing I could afford was to lose that job. Yeah. We would have been in trouble. And I said, Lord, this is what I need to do. This is what you've told me to do. It's all on you now. you'll take care of me. If they fire me and take me walking out, I'm just going to believe that you're going to fulfill your promise to take care of me and my family. Have you ever seen the righteous forsaken? I've never seen it. But not everyone will have the same motivation for joining you in your stand. Be prepared for that as well. Plenty of people will just walk away, you know. Leave you standing there all by yourself. You're not by yourself. You got the Lord. Amen. Me and Jesus making a majority. Amen?
Amen.
So read verses 15, 16 with me. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Some of you are lost. You there? Did you read that? Some indeed, go ahead and read it. Let's read it again. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bond. Paul is saying that thankfully not all are contentious and self-serving, but some are. Some will preach the gospel for the wrong reason. And that could be even as a result of what you do. Someone may step up to do the right thing, but then you find out later they had the wrong motivation. But what Paul says, that's true. That's what we were talking about with this Paula White, and I'm not sure who else. I've seen some of the other kooks that Trump has had in the White House with him. But he's also got men that I believe are pretty decent Christian men, like Robert Jeffers down in Texas, you know. So he's got both kinds surrounding him. And in verse 7, he says, read that with me, verse 17, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. See, there's some who are preaching for the wrong reason, but some out of love. Some will have the right motivation. So the question to you is, do you preach the gospel? Do you preach the gospel? Now, I know this, I always have to disclaimer, what I'm about to say is going to hurt somebody's feelings, I'm sure. But if you're a Christian and you have the opportunity and you are not preaching the gospel, you're failing as a Christian. I don't care how sweet and lovely you think you are, and I don't care if you pray 23 hours a day. That prayer, there's something wrong with that prayer if it doesn't result in you telling people about Jesus when you have the opportunity. Some of you don't have the opportunity that others of us do. I'm just saying, when you have the opportunity. I tell you, I miss Mark M. Bowden. Some of you never got to meet him. Some of you knew. Mark suffered. He had diabetes, kidney dialysis. They started cutting pieces off of him. First went the toes, then the foot, then up to half the leg. And you'd go visit him and you'd expect him to be laying there and saying, oh, why won't the Lord do something? That's what you expect. And you're thinking, I want to go there and just try to be an encouragement to him. What I should have done is found every pathetic excuse for a Christian I know and sent him over there. That man standing there having pieces of his body hacked off, going to a dialysis, knowing his time is limited, and you'd walk in there and he'd say, well, how are you? We're fine. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. I lost my leg, but hey, I've got another one just like it over here. Yeah, and then he would ask for gospel tracts, and he was really upset one time when I failed. I didn't bring any. I said, I'll be here tomorrow. And I brought him stacked next day. Because every time someone came in his room, it didn't matter if they already got one either. But he'd always ask for a different one. So he'd say, here, here's another one. I gave you the other one last time. It was an amazing thing to watch. Right to the last day. We went to visit him on his last day. And he was still witnessing and sharing the gospel to the people who were coming in taking care of him.
Amen.
And it was amazing. He was a great encouragement to me. The question, second question, do you do so out of love for Christ and lost souls? What's your motivation for wanting to reach people with the gospel?
I got to get that preacher off my back.
Hey, I've never asked you to tell me the details. I don't have trackers on your phone. I don't sneak your phone over and put an app on there so I can track you, you know. I've heard preachers doing that. Not kidding you. And I don't, you know, call up people, you know, hey,
Blanca, have you seen Ernesto doing anything lately?
Never ask, have I? Don't ask this question. So what do I'm telling you, what's important is God is watching you. God sees you, and that's who you want to please. Don't even do it out of, you know, we should have a healthy fear of God. Amen, amen. But when it comes to preaching the gospel, we should be doing it out of love. Amen. I love you enough, Jesus, that I want to tell other people about you. Amen. Not about me, not about my church, amen. Not about my preacher. If I find out you're out there saying, you should meet Greg Miller, I'd say, first of all, why? It's not about me. Amen. You should come to our church. And I'm sure some of you say this. We've got pizza every Wednesday, the first Wednesday of the month. We have a potluck the first Sunday. Come on down. No, see, the church is for saved people.
Amen.
Okay? So we go out and we preach the gospel. And then you, if they become a Christian, then you tell them about the pizza and the potluck and everything else, you know. That'll get them in. But why are you doing that? Here's another problem. And listen, folks, I know we encourage you to share your testimonies. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with testifying. Hey, I preach the gospel to so-and-so. But the question is, inside, are you doing it so you can boast?
Yeah.
See? We want to glorify God.
Amen.
And we should always say, the Lord provided me that opportunity.
Amen.
And the Lord gave me the words. The Lord gave me the courage.
Yep.
And the Lord will save them.
Amen.
And I try to be gentle, but every once in a while, we've had a couple people saved through this ministry online, and they'll say, thank you for saving me. They're just immature. They're baby Christians. So I write them back and I say, I want to assure you, I had nothing to do with it. I did preach the gospel, and for that you are welcome. But Jesus paid the price. Jesus did it all. And Jesus does the saving. It's the new birth is Jesus and His Spirit. Amen? So there's your questions. Verse 18, read that with me. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. And that's what I was talking about a moment ago. The important thing is that Christ is preached. I don't agree with a lot of preachers out there, when, especially they're using the perverted Bibles. I don't agree with a lot of the doctrine out there. There are people I love dearly who I think are way off on doctrine. But if I find out that they're preaching the right Jesus and the right gospel and people are hearing the gospel as a result of what they're doing, I praise God for it.
Amen.
And that's like these storms, these big, you know, catastrophes. And there are ministries that you could send money to that'll preach the gospel. You may not agree with all their doctrine, and if they're radically crazy or cultic, obviously you shouldn't do that. But if they preach the gospel, that's what we're concerned with.
Amen.
And that's what I'm concerned with when it comes to everyone in this room.
Amen.
So I want to answer this question. Did God cause Paul to suffer? And I heard a preacher, as I've studied for Philippians, heard a preacher talk about this as though God is the one who caused the suffering. And that, folks, I'm not everything's black and white. Not everything is yay or nay in our understanding. It is with the Lord, but we don't know His mind all the time. We only know what He's told us in the book. And so sometimes God will cause or allow suffering. He does.
Amen.
But we don't always understand that. We don't always understand whether or not he causes the suffering. What we do understand is what we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go ahead, turn over there a few pages. We'll wrap this thing up, but I want to get over here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning in verse 10. And Paul's giving a little summary of his own life here. He says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." And look at verse 11. This completely destroys the word faith, positive confession, TBN, nonsense. Verse 11 says, "Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured." And if you read about those, they're pretty horrific. "But out of them all, the Lord," what?
"Amen."
Look what he says in verse 12. "Yea," read that with me. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Now that's not the best life now message you're hearing from the TV preachers today. And it's pretty emphatic. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And I say it in a joking manner, but it's not a joke when I say this. If they're not persecuting you, why not?
Amen.
What's the problem? Amen. He explains verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Folks, we're there. That's where we are. So what do? Well, you need to build a bunker out in the middle of Montana somewhere and separate yourself from everybody and go in hiding. Amen?
Amen.
It does sound, to me that sounds great. I got to tell you, I've looked hard, long and hard for that Bible verse because that just sounds great to me. But it's not there. What's he say in verse 14? "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." See that? Times get rough. Going gets tough. Everybody always says, you know, they want to, the grass is greener on the other side. And you know why the grass is greener over there? Because they got a thicker layer of manure. That's what you'll find out when you get over there. Amen? You disagree with that, just tells me you've been living in a dungeon somewhere. He says in verse 15, "And that from a holy child that hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Now Timothy, he had been raised by a Bible-believing mother, so he'd known the scriptures since he was a young one. And some of you may or may not be in those shoes, but I'll tell you this, if you're saved right now, and you're reading your King James Bible right now, and you're attending this church or one like it right now, then you know the Holy Scriptures well enough that you are able to be wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's a fact. And my point is that God is not necessarily the cause. A lot of times, folks, we bring it on ourselves by making bad decisions. You know, Jill had that car accident, and we don't know the full story or anything, but what if she'd come in there and said, "Yeah, I just ran a red light," and, you know, then I'd say, well, you know, what's going to happen? God's going to take care of you. Even if it would have been her fault just running a red light. God didn't cause it. If she runs a red light, God doesn't cause people to try to drive over water when they can't see the road and then suddenly they're and some of them die and lose family members. God didn't cause them to do that. God didn't cause that Troy Gentry to get in a helicopter and it came down and he died. Troy made that choice. Montgomery didn't, so he's alive. Amen? That kid in Shiloh, the movie Shiloh, what's his name? If Mariah was here, she could tell me. You remember the boy? You remember the Shiloh movies with the little puppy dog years ago? He died this weekend. And they believe it was the results of years of heroin abuse. God didn't cause him to do the heroin. But we have this promise. He may not always be the cause, but he is the cure. That's the promise. That's what Romans 8:28 is telling us when it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." You know who that's not true for? She said the lost. Did you hear that? Amen, Gloria. No, stop. You're ruining my point. She said the lost, not Dada. I heard it. Dad loves Jesus. And all things will work together for good for Dad. But if you are here this morning and lost, that's not true for you. All things will not work together for good to them who do not love God. So on the one hand, we call on you to repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved here this morning, if you're watching or listening and you're not saved, now is the appointed time. Now is the day of salvation. Jesus died on the cross and paid the full price for sins, was buried and rose again, conquering sin and death. If you will repent toward God and believe that gospel, trusting in Jesus Christ, all things will work together for good for you. But if you choose to reject Jesus and reject that gospel, you choose to also reject that promise. That's how simple it is. Amen. Let's go to page 7 in our praise books.